Romans. Chapter 16. We'll finish this someday. But it won't be today. Romans 16. Verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Now I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful peace that you do give. And we understand that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with you and peace through our Savior. And we do thank you for that, the grace that brings peace. What a blessing. Dear God, I ask for the filling of your Spirit tonight to minister the word to your dear people who are here. And Father, might you speak afresh and anew to our hearts. Might you reveal more of your wonderful, glorious self to us, your character, just your power and your love, and all that you have done for us, all that you are. We thank you and praise your name. Fill my dear wife with your Spirit and bless her teaching in the deaf class tonight. And Miriam watching, Stephanie watching the children. Father, bless her. And keep her and watch her in that ministry and help her there, Father. I thank you for each one here tonight. Dear God, the church, we need to be edified. We need to just draw closer to you. Help us in that tonight. Be with each one. Could not be here. Might they know that we miss them. Praying for them. I pray they're doing the same. Finding solace in you. And Father, we pray. We look to you. Help us to, if you tarry, give us strength to glorify your name the remainder of the week. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, we just sang that piece, and we read verse 20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. God will give victory and peace to the church as they continue to seek him. And of course, Paul is echoing that promise in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the scripture says, God speaking to Adam and Eve, and he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to the serpent there, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So Satan would, in a sense, bruise the heel of Christ, of course, at Calvary. But that same wound was the one that crushed his head and ensured his destruction. And one day, Paul is saying, there'll be ultimate victory and there'll be no more struggles. And Satan will be ultimately and finally done. The sinful nature will be ultimately and finally gone. And we look forward to that great victory. Can you imagine the worship that we'll have? I mean, it's so joyous now with our sinful nature getting in the way, you know, more often than we like. Can you imagine what it'll be like without that? It's going to be wonderful, amen. And I mean, we see now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I mean, the glories of God are so wonderful now, but boy, when those things are taken out of the way, oh my goodness! And it's just going to be such a wonderful eternity. Worshiping God, serving Him unhindered, unbridled by any hindrance. Worshiping Him, praising His name, going to be wonderful, and having that great victory. And he did tell them earlier in the chapter though that they were to mark those who caused division of offenses contrary to the doctrine which they have learned, and to avoid them. So there was two things needed to do was to be looking out for those false teachers. We talked about that. Talking about false teachers there. Not talking about, you know, a godly Christian who just disagrees on some subject with you or I. Not talking about that. Talking about people preaching false doctrine and slipping into the church, damnable heresies and things like that. Watching out for them and marking them, and then what? Avoiding them, staying away from them, getting them out of the church. When they would do that, then what? Then verse 20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. If we raise up our hands and say, oh, well, there's no use, you know, false doctrine's going to come in, then we're not going to know that peace there. If we don't stay true to the truth of God's word. Jesus commended the church at Ephesus for being careful about that. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, the scripture says, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. So they had some people coming into the church who perhaps even claimed to be an apostle. I've seen Jesus, I'm a true follower. And they could not bear those that are evil. In other words, they couldn't bear them. That doesn't mean that the church left away from them. That means they booted them out of the church. We're not going to have you in here. We're not going to have that teaching. And they didn't put up with it. And when they found out, they tried them and found that they were false. How'd they try them? By the word of God, by the preaching, and what they'd learned from the true apostles and the letters that they had and such. They tried them by the word of God. And when they found them false, they got rid of them, got them out of the church. And thank God that we can do that by the word of God. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And we have that peace as we stay true to that word. Verse 21. Paul writes, Timothy, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. So Timothy, as I was studying this, I was just blessed and challenged by the life, by the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. What a challenge. We're probably going to spend the rest of our night here tethered to Timothy, okay? And so to speak. What a faithful disciple. Of the Apostle Paul. And I know it was a challenge to my heart. I thought, man, I want to be a disciple like Timothy. I want to be a help to another believer. I want to have that closeness. And I have that with folks in here. And I'm thankful for this church, for the discipleship that we have together, serving the Lord. It's been glorious. It's been wonderful. And that's why I want more to come in to enjoy this. Amen. I know you do too. And we keep praying about that. Amen. Thankful for those that are coming. All right, well, some things about Timothy. And I'll have you help me look up some scriptures about Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:5, someone want to look that up? Brother Austin, okay. 1 Timothy 1:2, someone want to look that up? 1 Timothy 1:2, Brother Dennis. First Timothy 4:14. Brother Brian. 2 Timothy 1:6. Sister Lindsay. First Timothy 1, 3, and 4. Sister Lynn. 1 Timothy 5:23. Brother Charles. We'll try to remember all the ones I've given you. We'll stop right there for now. All right. Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:5. Who's got that one?
Okay. Yeah, Austin. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother.
All right, so here we have a young man who had a godly mother and grandmother. And the book of Acts tells us some about that. And we'll get that in a moment. But so here he's raised up. The Bible says in another place, we'll get there, that his mother was a Jewess. So she was a believer. And the grandmother, obviously, was a believer. So they believed the Old Testament scriptures. And no doubt taught Timothy those things. He had that faith of the coming Messiah, that faith that was built up in the Word of God, grounded in the scriptures from an early age. And what a blessing it is to have children and to ground them in the scriptures at an early age. Catholic Church says, give us a child till the age of five, and we'll have him for life. And it's important to teach your children the Word of God, and your grandchildren the Word of God. If you can do that and get that grounded, and what a blessing! And then 1 Timothy 1:2. So, Paul's own son in the faith. Who won Timothy to Christ? The Apostle Paul did. He was putting the pieces together through the Old Testament, believed what had been revealed to him so far. And then when the Apostle Paul came through on that first missionary journey through Antioch and Lystra and where Timothy's from and Derbe and preaching the gospel, Timothy heard that man preach. And saw the sufferings he was going through, and some time during that ministry there in Lystra, like Timothy got born again and got saved through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. What a wonderful blessing there in Lystra. And what would Timothy have witnessed of the Apostle Paul when he came through Lystra there? Well, you'd find in Acts 14:18 and following, what has happened is Paul and Silas are together here, and they're on their actually second missionary journey. Paul and Silas, and they've come through Antioch and they're in Lystra, and they healed a lame man in Lystra. And when the people at Lystra saw this lame man healed, they're ready to worship him like God. They're ready to sacrifice animals to him and such. The Paul and Silas come up. No, these are things we're trying to turn you away from. You know, we're just men and such. Then Acts 14:18 goes on and says, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Oh, it is the first journey. I was right the first time. So it's Paul and Barnabas. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So Timothy was there, living in Lystra there. Paul and Barnabas, of course, were kicked out of Antioch by persecution. They come to Lystra. They're ready to receive him to the point of worship almost. But then who follows them? The Jews from Antioch. They follow them. They stir up the people. And now what are they stone Paul. Timothy very well could have been a witness of that. Seen him, here this preacher is. And he's preaching these Old Testament scriptures, showing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and folks are getting saved, and Timothy as well. And then what happens? He gets stoned. Many believe he was probably he actually may have died there. That may be when he had that vision. He says whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell you whether I was dead or alive or not. Is what he said. So, but he was stoned, left for dead. What's happened? He gets back up, walks back into Lystra, And then that from there they leave and go on to Derby. Timothy very well might have witnessed that, and might have been a very sobering thing for him to see what the Apostle Paul would go through for that. By the way, when they went back through those cities confirming the souls, Timothy might have been in that discipleship class, amen? And in learning more about God, being challenged to be a faithful disciple as they went back through, confirming those souls on that first missionary journey. While Paul was away, Timothy grew in faith and developed a godly testimony. When Paul is on his second missionary journey with Silas, the Bible says in Acts 16:1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named who? Timotheus." Acts 16:1, "The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." He has developed a testimony. He is of good report. "Him would Paul had to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that he, his father, was a Greek." What a willing disciple to go through that for the ministry and willingly follow this one whom he has seen, you know, beaten mercilessly for what he's preaching. And Timothy is going to finish and go on with Paul on that second missionary journey as one of those that are with him. And what a blessing. We see that closeness, that bond that is building between the two. He was 1 Timothy 4:14. Who has that? Brother Brian. And 2 Timothy 1:6. So Timothy was ordained to the ministry by the presbytery. That's just a plurality of elders. Several elders, pastors were involved. And by the way, Paul was in that group. And he was one of the ones that laid hands on Timothy as Timothy was ordained to the gospel ministry. And what a blessing. Just faithfully growing, faithfully going, faithfully serving God, this young man. What a testimony. And we think about his faithful service. The Apostle Paul talks about along his journey there. He says they had ministered in Thessalonica, and you might remember they were only able to stay there, 3 weeks before they were booted out. And in Thessalonica. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul's writing a letter to them, to the Thessalonians, and he says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent who? Timothy, our brother, and minister of God, and fellow laborer." Do we see the bond there? Do we see Timothy's growth? "Fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." What a blessing. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." By the way, when Paul and Silas came into Thessalonica, what had just happened? They were imprisoned and beaten in Philippi, remember? And so it just continued in Thessalonica. And then now Paul sends Timothy back to confirm them because, whoa, wait a minute. We got to go through all this? Yeah. We must through what? Much tribulation of the kingdom of God. Back then, being saved cost you something. Follow the Lord in baptism cost you something. And but he sent Timothy back to establish him and to help him. And to encourage him not to be moved by those afflictions, 1 Thessalonians 2:3. He says, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." Who did you send by? Timothy. "Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." But now when Timotheus came from you, Timothy returns unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. So Timothy went. He was an encouragement to them. He encouraged them not to give up, to go on despite the persecution, be faithful, and he was able to come back, what? Give a good report and encourage the Apostle Paul himself. What a great blessing. 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4.
As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so be.
All right. So here he is. Timothy is appointed by the Apostle Paul. He's to remain at Ephesus, and he's going to go on to Macedonia. By the way, this probably took place in between the imprisonments. This is not a journey that was recorded in Acts. Probably took place in between the imprisonments. We have Paul going on to Macedonia, and some believe perhaps Greece as well, but leaving Timothy at Ephesus, what, to quell the tide of heresy that was beginning to slip into the church. He said, I want you to stay here. The charge some they teach no other doctrine. And neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies. And so Timothy again is doing the work of God. He's an extension of the Apostle Paul's heart. And he has submitted himself to the Apostle Paul. Where he sends me, I'll go, and I'll serve God. I'm gonna serve this man, and then that brotherhood just getting closer and closer. That love, that knot just getting tighter and tighter. Those hearts just becoming more one and more one. What a blessing! What a blessing! 1 Timothy 5:23. So Timothy had ministered and served despite some physical problems. I don't know about you, but if I got voted to follow a man who's getting beaten all the time, I might have an upset stomach once in a while too, all right? I might be taking some meds too, okay? And Timothy had some stomach problems, and I'm sure that all the excitement didn't help those things. Paul says, you have those often infirmities. You know, it's hard to be sick. Continually, it's hard to have pains. I pray for some of you folks. I know that you are in pain often and frequently and some continually, and that's hard. I mean, I've had back pains rarely, and probably not bad enough to empathize with what some of you're going through, and other things, and it's just hard to serve. Serving is a challenge anyway with the resistance of the devil and the flesh, and then to do it when your flesh is weak, when your flesh is struggling, is hard. And Timothy was faithful in that. He would continue to be faithful serving there. He came to see Paul in Philemon 1:1 when Paul was in his first imprisonment. Paul wrote the book of Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon during his first imprisonment. And when he writes to Philemon 1, Philemon 1:1, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So Timothy was there with Paul, visiting him in the prison. Timothy, I don't believe, was a fellow prisoner, because Paul also, remember, at the same time he's writing Philemon, the letter to Philemon, he sends also the letter of to the Colossians. And when he sends a letter to the Colossians, he writes in Colossians 4:10, he names some people. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, that's Mark. In Philemon 1:23, he says, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ. So he names Timothy there, but he's not a fellow prisoner. Timothy has come there to minister to Paul and being a blessing to him there. There are some that are fellow prisoners there, but yet Timothy is there with him during that first imprisonment. And what a blessing. Timothy and the Apostle Paul had become soul brothers, I guess you could say, one heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. Just picture the heart of the Apostle Paul here as he's writing this young man. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life." Now remember, the eagles are going by here now. "Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." Timothy knew all about him, Paul says. "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." And Timothy saw that. He says, and then in that was 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11. And then in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul writes to that church there from prison and says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send" who? "Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." And look at verse 20. "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, but for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know" what? "The proof of him." In other words, he proved himself through the fullness of the Holy Spirit that he was a faithful servant of God. "But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." And just one heart beating together, the heart of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, "I'm going to send," at this particular point, he says, he's really the only one I can send that's like-minded. Only one I can send that's got the same heart, the same drive that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart, this young man has. The Apostle Paul would send him there. Oh, his faith and his zeal were an encouragement to the aged Apostle Paul when he was in his second imprisonment, his final, when he was weak and weary and cold in that cell, asking to bring the garments and such. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, what does Paul write? He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy," what you say? "My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, without ceasing" what? "I have remembrance of thee." Just remembering their mutual service together. Paul says, "I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee." I want you to come see me, Timothy. He knows he's not going to escape this imprisonment. He knows he's going to be offered this one. And he says, "Timothy, I need to see you." He says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful" what? "Of thy tears. I remember your zeal. I remember your burden for souls. I remember perhaps the tears that Timothy cried as he saw the Apostle Paul suffer some of those things that he suffered, and other believers as well. He says, "I remember your love, Timothy, that compassion. I remember your tears." And by the way, that very testimony, that young disciple, he says what? "That I may be filled with joy." I'm filled with joy. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ is doing in your life, Timothy. Because as I know he's walking in me, Timothy, I see him walking in you. I see the same Lord, my Lord, walking in your heart and ministering. And Paul says, "What a joy that is. What a joy that is to me. What an encouragement that is to me." He goes on to say in verse 5 there, 2 Timothy 1, "When I call to remember" what? "The unfeigned faith that is in thee." Nothing hypocritical about your faith, Timothy. Nothing false or fake about your faith, Timothy. It's the real thing. "The unfeigned faith that is in thee." And he says, by the way, "which dwelt first," it began even earlier than Paul met him. first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And you see, Paul built upon what mom and grandma had already done in sharing the scriptures and teaching Timothy. And Timothy was, by the way, 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 8. Someone want to read that? 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 8. Brother Charles.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. But not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
So Timothy might have been tempted out of fear of persecution to ease up in the ministry. He sees the Apostle Paul, and he's in prison. He's not coming out of this one. And Paul says, Timothy, you keep going that straight line. You keep loving, you keep serving, you keep preaching that gospel. And by the way, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. If it brings persecution, God will give you the strength to get through that. God will give you the grace to be a test. By the way, he'd seen that in the Apostle Paul, didn't he? Time and time again. He'd seen Paul and those with him go through that persecution. Not delivered from it, go through it. And by the way, he tells Timothy, and if that comes your way, Timothy, don't just receive the good stuff. Receive the suffering. Unto us it's appointed not only to believe in him, but what? Also to suffer for his sake, the Bible says. Don't stray away from God's will to avoid persecution. If doing God's will brings persecution, if loving people and preaching the gospel brings persecution, then let it come. And God will be your strength. He says, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, that power that God will give you. By the way, Timothy did that. He was eventually imprisoned. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23, we read, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. So he was imprisoned at some point and got out, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. And so he was eventually imprisoned. And then one more. 2 Timothy. Didn't write this one down, but just came to mind. 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Timothy, yeah. Paul writes to that letter from his heart, second to this young soldier. He says, verse 4, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, 4:1. He says, preach the word, verse 2 there. He goes on, be faithful in the ministry. I'm ready to be offered, verse 6, he says. talks about those that have forsaken him, gone the way. And then look what he says in verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, what? When thou comest, bring with thee. I need to see you, Timothy. And the books, but especially the parchments, especially the pieces of scripture that I have, especially the parchments. Warns them about Alexander. He says, look at verse 21 in chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Do thy diligence, what? To come before winter. And he talks about those who greet him. I want to see you, Timothy. Bring my coat. I'm cold. Bring my books and parchments. And would you be diligent to come before winter? Wow. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be tethered to Timothy. Amen. I'd like to at least be a shadow of that in my life somehow. What a faithful follower. What a faithful disciple. And what an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessings and goodness. And dear God, whether we know it or not, being faithful disciples, we will be an encouragement to other believers. And I pray you'd help us each one in that. We know that not only will we know the joy that only being a faithful disciple can bring, but in that we will be an encouragement to others. We may not know all the details of it, but we can count on that as we minister to others, as we're faithful in the church, as we're that faithful disciple, we'll have an impact on somebody else. We'll be an encouragement to somebody else, even like Timothy was to the Apostle Paul. Bless these things, seal them in our hearts, dear God, and help us to be better disciples because of what we've heard tonight from your word, what your Spirit has spoken to our hearts about the faithfulness of Timothy, as testified through the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.